Paul said, I've learned that in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Actually, you didn't know what I was preaching on this morning, but it fits right in. Would you take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. First John chapter 5, verse 11. It's good to have you all here, and we have a nice group of visitors with us this morning as well, and I appreciate that. And some just kind of passing through, some from the area here, but you know, get this way again. I hope you'll come by and see us and make yourself at home. We're just so glad to have you here. We've got a good bunch of folks here, and I think you'd find it'd be a nice place. If you don't have a regular church home, I'd encourage you to, you know, consider little place here on Carlisle Road across from the Dover Animal Hospital here. It's called Lighthouse Baptist. We'd like to have you like to come by and see us again. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11. Of course, this is written by the Apostle John. He's kind of considered the Apostle of Love, but if you study his early life in the Gospels, he was not very loving. He was the one kind of guy. He was the guy that when they decided that Jesus was headed toward Jerusalem and they needed to go through Samaria, they didn't receive Jesus like they thought they should. And James and John, he and his brother, the sons of thunder, said, "Why don't we just bring fire down here and wipe this bunch out here?" And he said, "No, I didn't come to destroy life. I came to bring life, to give life." And you find that John learned how to love. Peter did the same thing. He was kind of wishy-washy and kind of back and forth and this and that and the other thing. And then when you read his writings in 1 and 2 Peter, you find that he had settled these things and he looked at things different. It's amazing. Sometimes what we are young in life, we become just the opposite when God comes in and regenerates us and makes us new creations in Christ. And if you think, well, I could never do this or I can't do this or I'm fearful and I could never have the faith to kind of live life, God changes things. And I think he kind of does it in such a way that we know that he did it. We know that he did it. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, it says, And this is the record. The end of the letter here, he's putting some things down here. Going to put it all, come to a summary. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now remember that. I mean, even in Sunday school, Nathan was preaching there, and he started in John 14. You believe in God, you do well. Believe also in me. We can call God by a lot of different names, but if you leave out Jesus Christ, you leave out the Savior. You leave out the Savior, you leave out life. We're still dead in trespasses and sins without the Savior. So he that hath the Son hath life. You get it, comes with the package. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you refuse Jesus, you're refusing life. When you refuse life, be honest with you, you're refusing the hope that we have available to us to live life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's two things there. I used to think that was redundant. I don't think it's redundant. I think it's an expansion there. He says, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, believe in all that he is, you have eternal life. But not only that, you can also believe on his name for other things to come, for other needs to come while we're living our life here until we get to the other side in glory. Your eternal life begins the day you receive Christ as your Savior. We say, my body's going to die. Oh, you don't want this body. Get a new body. The you that's going to live forever is your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul, the person on the inside. Frankly, I want one about 6'4". 185 pounds, little wavy hair, and you know, a little dimple in the chin there, you know, and I don't know. Whatever she wants, that's okay with me. She married me. I don't know. We get a new body. I don't want to live in this old rickety body. I want a new body. But the soul is going to live forever. And we have that hope. Now, he says, watch this, verse 14. And this is the confidence. What we just talked about, being his child, so forth. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I'm his child. He's mine. I'm his. I like the old song that says, well, I own him as my king. He's mine, but he's my king. He's the authority. We're still taking the authority of the kingdom of God. And verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So everything's all right. Let's have a word of prayer. And this is actually attached to the messages I've been doing the last few weeks here. But I wanted to do this one. We were talking about possessing the promises of God. One of those promises is peace. One of the promises of God is peace. You're not going to get peace by trying to pursue peace. You're going to get peace when you possess the promise of peace that God has offered us. We're going to talk about this morning the Jericho walk to peace. The Jericho walk to peace. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And I know we've kind of used this principle here for quite a few weeks. But Lord, it's just so true. You've promised us, you have so many great and precious promises, and we simply do not have them because we're not willing to just possess them in a manner in which you tell us to do it. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time here. I know we've talked about peace not all that long ago, but I wanted to put it in this context. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. Lord, be one here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. That's the first step. May they come to know Christ today. And Lord, maybe there's been someone, there's folks who are living in turmoil, the circumstances. The fact is, if the truth be known, we all have some things that probably cause more or less turmoil in our life. And yet we can have the peace that passes understanding, passes the knowledge of what we know the circumstances to be. And it only comes from you. Lord, I put it in your hands here this morning. We ask you for your spirit to move. Give each one of us, exactly what we need here this morning. And we'll give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. There are many promises of God, and we've been looking at several of them over the last few weeks. The promise is ours. It's already ours to possess. He's got our name on them. All we need to do is receive the promise and possess the promise as God has instructed us. The promised land had been given to the people of Israel, and I'm going to go through the whole thing, but for those who haven't been here, I want you to kind of remind you. They come out of Egypt. They were supposed to go to the promised land. They saw the giants, and they refused. They lived in the wilderness for 40 years until most of them died. They were going to be able to possess the promised land if they obeyed God. The first example that was the most obvious, which was the battle at Jericho. It was a well-fortified walled city. God told Joshua that the people were to walk around the city for a week, once a day for a week, and then seven times that seventh day, and the walls would fall down and they would go in and take the city. As I've said, walking around that city did nothing physically or tangibly to take down the wall. Walking around the city was obedience to God, even when obedience made no sense. Let me say that again. Obedience to God, we obey even when it makes no sense. It made no sense to go walking around that city time after time after time. It seems like a ridiculous thing to do. The Jericho walk was exercising the faith. Their faith was alive. It was not dead because their faith was activated by their actions and their works. If faith doesn't move you to action, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for your faith. James says your faith is dead. If it doesn't move you to change what you do in life, it may be a difference in philosophy. It may be a difference in the things you do. It could be all kinds of things. You may change a lot of things in your life. If the faith doesn't move you to change, it's dead. It's dead faith. Now, for instance, no one can earn their way into heaven. No one is justified by the works of the law. And the law of God actually proves how inept we are at living righteously. Therefore, God, not willing that any should perish because of the undeserved love that he has for us, paid our debt for us, and having his only begotten Son die in our place. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We possess the promise of eternal life. Watch this. By admitting we don't deserve it. That's like saying going in and getting a job. And the way you're trying to get a job is by telling you how inept you are for doing that job. How wrong you are for that job. Seems crazy, doesn't it? See, the world's natural thing is, well, I got to talk God in. I got to do enough things here, get enough brownie points. He'll let me in. If I just get a little bit more, you know, more good than I have bad, then it'll outweigh each other. The problem is you still got the bad. Nothing can enter in that would defile it. Not a lot, not a little. You can't get in there by working your way. See, the Jericho walk to heaven is crazy. In other words, you're going in the opposite direction. You're actually going to tell him how bad you are. You're going to confess your sins. Repent of what you've been trying to do and say, you know what, I blew it. That makes no sense. Of course it doesn't make any sense to the natural man. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We accept the gift by faith. It makes little sense. We possess the precious promises of spiritual growth by going through the process. We talked about that. We can possess the guidance that God has. You know how you possess the guidance of God to know what to do in life, how to make decisions? By saying, I don't know what I'm doing. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. So I want guidance, don't you? Listen, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. I want guidance. Okay, come to the end of yourself. You know, the thing is, if you find that God is all you have, you'll find he's all you need. We can possess our needs. We talked about that the last couple of weeks here. Possess our needs by not worrying about our needs, but seeking first the authority of God, his kingship in our life, and throwing out all our scheming, and on just seek to just live according to the definition of God's righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It doesn't make sense. It's walking around Jericho. Listen, I got to go out here. I got to figure out a way to make some more money for my family. So you know what? I don't have time to go to church. I'm going to toss that out. And no, he says, walk around Jericho. I'm sitting in church trying to hear the word of God when I know I need some more money. He says, I'll take care of you. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, just coming to church and sitting in a pew and just saying, and letting everything go back around you isn't going to do a thing. But if you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. It doesn't make any sense to do that. These are these principles that we've been talking about. Now, peace is another blessing that God has promised that we can possess. Peace. Many people spend their lives trying to acquire peace. They lie awake all night worrying about not having peace. And they're still void of peace. Peace will remain elusive to us as long as we are seeking peace. You listen to me. Peace will remain elusive to us. We will not be able to grasp it as long as that's what we're seeking. Peace will come when we seek the Prince of Peace. You see, what we want to, well, I'm going to get on one here. Many people, let me get off one. We think we're wasting our time seeking the Prince of Peace when we should be doing something about our situation so we can have peace. Right? Now watch me. Many people think that the peace of God comes into their lives and into their hearts when God has solved all their problems and there are no more problems in their life. Now, wait a minute. If there are no problems, you don't need peace. You don't need a peace of God to get you through the problems. You see, we think peace is the absence of problems. That's not the case. Peace does not come from the absence of problems. Peace comes in the midst of the problems when we seek the presence of the Prince of Peace. We may say, you know, this is not the road to peace. These steps are not going to fix the problem. You're not going to knock down the walls of Jericho this way. Now, I spoke on peace relatively recently, but I want to present the concept of peace in this context of possessing it as the promise of God. God wants to give us peace. God is willing to give us peace. And God has provided peace for us. We need to be, listen, willing to surrender, to let go. We need to be willing to possess the peace and then by faith walk through the process that allows us to possess the peace of God. Now you will notice that these steps I'm going to give you, none of these steps has anything to do with us removing the problem in our lives. In fact, we will never be totally free from problems. I'm sorry. See, well, if I just had all the money in the world, I'd be okay. Then you have problems with the money. Everybody in the world would be trying to get in your door to get some of it. Every relative in the world will crawl out of underneath the baseboard of the house there and look with their hand out. I mean, you think? In this world, we shall have tribulation. But he says, listen, I've overcome the world. So if you're waiting for your life to be free from problems so you can have peace, you're never going to have peace. Let me quote that for you. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. It's Jesus, last night of his life. In the world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say it's just going to pop up from time to time. You know, listen, you're either just coming out of a problem or you're in the middle of a problem, or look out, there's one showing up on your door. We had vacation Bible school. I called home on Wednesday. Our phone went out. That was in July. July 20th. We just got our phone back in our house this weekend. We've called and called and called and called. We came home from vacation Bible school on Friday night. It was a nice night, but it was hot and it was sticky. We were tired, and our air conditioner had gone down. Now, that, you know, we complain about those kind of things, but you know, there's a lot of things going. Listen, you get a phone call, and the doctor says some words you don't want to hear. You come home, and your spouse has cleaned out the house, and they're gone. You get a phone call from the police that just picked up your kid. You got a mother-in-law. Say no more. Nah, just teasing, just teasing. My mother-in-law was a sweetie, 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 sweetie. She was a sweetie. We all have tribulations. But listen, he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Who overcame the world? Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So where am I going to find peace? With the Prince of Peace. Let me give you number one. I'm going to give you some steps here. These are not difficult. You know what? I think that's part of our problem. We're so busy trying to figure it out, we think we know more than God. And this can't be right because it's easy. This can't be right because it's too simple. It's got to be complex because everybody in the world is having a struggle with this. Yep. It's not. It's simple. Number one, in order to possess the peace of God, there are several things we need to be. Number one, redeemed. Redeemed. Excuse me. Look at 1 John 5. 1 John 5. And this is the record. This is the truth. This is what I've been trying to tell you all along. This is the record. That God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You got to ask yourself a question. He's already paid for our penalty. You know, redeemed means to buy off the sales block, the slave block, never to be sold again. Can you imagine a slave standing on the sale block and the auctioneer selling them, sold. The man who buys comes up, he pays the cost, comes up, he undoes the shackles, and says, you can go. And we stand there. He stands there. What do you mean I can go? You can go. Okay, I'm going to run and you're going to shoot me. No, you can go. You're free to go. All right. What's the deal? What's the trick? What's the catch? You go. Free to go. You see, we are bought off the auction block, never to be sold again. The problem is that gift, that to possess eternal life, that we've talked about, to possess the gospel, is the fact is, it's almost like it's too good to be true, so we don't take it. Have you taken it? Are you God's child? When you realize that you're God's child, and God is your daddy, and we can cry, Abba, Father. Do you understand that? I mean, I'm not talking figuratively. I'm not talking about some kind of psychological ploy. I'm not trying to pump up your self-esteem. I'm saying we're wicked sinners. We should be in hell, but God bought us with his precious blood that we don't have to do that. So you're mine. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. I mean, this is true. This is true. I don't know. It's got to be a catcher. Come on, believe me. Shall not die, but have not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you imagine the peace that we ought to have? Listen, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. We have eternal life. Listen. When you have life, you have hope. You have life when you have Jesus. Let me read this. We'll move on. We'll spend a lot of time with it because you all know this. Most of you do. Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, being justified by faith. I'm not justified to be in God's presence. But I'm justified because I'm trusting what Christ did. That slave, as bad as it was, as slavery is, he was not justified to leave. He was sold. He belonged to somebody else. But he's justified to be free because someone else paid his price. And he was willing to trust him and take it. Now, we are justified by faith. Romans 5:1. Watch. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We can glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We get the Holy Ghost when we get saved. That's a promise. It's given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Well, I don't think I deserve it. No, of course you didn't. Listen. The healthy don't need a physician. We need a Savior because we are sinners. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath through him. We have peace. But the peace, you say, well, I'm glad. But the peace you're looking for is day-to-day peace. I know that's what we're looking for, day-to-day peace. So I know I'm going to heaven, all right? But the first step is you need to be redeemed. You want peace? Number two, we need to be right with God. We need to be right with God. Have you ever been in a squabble with your spouse and you know as soon as you're both in the same room is going to be a problem? There's no peace. But then there's times when that has all been dealt with and we've asked forgiveness, we've been forgiven, and it's all sweet again, and you walk in, and you know there's going to be peace. Now, what does it have to do with being right with God? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's not that he's given me the silent treatment. God's not going to bless wickedness. He can't. He can't bless sin. It's not right. It's not just. Sometimes he takes care of us in spite of it. But we have that regard of iniquity. Says we know we're wrong and we're going to stay wrong and don't try to move me away from it. God said, fine, then you do it your way. And you know what? When we realize we're on the wrong side of God, and he's not going to hear you if you need it, where's the peace? I heard the story about a man who had been this is years ago. I didn't even know the man, but the story was that he had been very much involved in his church, a good man. Something had happened. Somebody did something or said something about him in the church, and he got crossways with that person. And he just wouldn't forgive him, just got bitter. Then he just kind of stopped going to church. He stopped spending time with the Lord in his own devotions and just kind of went off and, 20 years had passed and he just been doing his own thing. Got a phone call from his daughter. They were rushing his grandson to the hospital. And she said, Daddy, pray. This is serious, Daddy, pray. He said, I couldn't. He said, he wasn't going to hear my prayer anyway. He said, my heart, my conscience convicted me. To start the prayer, he had to go back and repent. He had to tell God what he, all the things he had done. Listen, when some kind of tragedy comes up, it's awful nice to know you have the lines open. Folks say, well, you need to pray so many times. Listen, Bible says pray without ceasing. Don't hang up. Listen, you have unlimited minutes. No penalty. Ask of God who giveth liberally, upbraideth not. Keep the line open. I'm serious. Keep the line open. There's peace knowing that he's listening every moment. You keep that conversation going. Look what it says in 1 John 3. Go back a page. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that he should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. But look what starts to talk about. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this is the children of God. In this the children of God are manifest or shown, and children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, these terms are, you have to understand, are kind of infinitives here. He's saying, listen, if you can just sin and sin and sin and you don't give a hoot, you're probably not his. Now, if you're sinning and you just feel that condemnation, and he's kind of, you can just feel that pressure, and he's probably chastising you, which is a good thing. You know, he's your daddy when he's still disciplining you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me know he's still there. Then I need to get straightened out, but I'm glad that he's there. But if you want the blessing, you need to stay right with him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have the peace, even when you don't know where the next meal's coming from, that you know the next meal's coming? Don't know from where, but it's coming. Now, he may put you on a diet. He may know that, you've got a good month's worth here, you could probably stand that. But he's not going to let you starve. He's never seen the righteous forsaken of the seed begging bread. Psalm 66:16 says, come and hear all ye that fear God, and will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. We need to be redeemed. We need to be right with God. Number three, we need to rely on God. You want the peace of God. Problems are going to be here. So getting rid of the problems, that's not an option. They may come, they may go, they may be more or they may less, but they're going to be there. We have to rely on God. But don't you think, listen, God gave you a brain, use it. Well, you should use your brain. You should have enough sense to realize there's a God who created the whole heaven and the earth and the universe around it, and he loves you and he cares for you. Well, maybe we ought to just trust him. Maybe we ought to just do what he said to do. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So I want you to know that you got eternal life, but you can believe on him. Day by day, hour by hour, week by week, we may believe on the name of Jesus. You need to establish your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you don't know your Father, how do you know He's going to take care of you? When you walk with your Father, you find Him faithful, faithful, faithful. Then you're ready to meet, because listen, you don't walk away from the Father's still there. Listen, don't give your kids everything they want. If it's a little tight, tell them it's a little tight. God will give us what we need. I'll tell you what, there are more people in our congregation here, folks who went through depression. I'm not talking about depression, I mean the depression. I'm talking about times when they didn't know where the next meal was going to come from, and they've learned, and they actually have a peace that passes understanding because they've seen God pull them through. If I never had some problems, I didn't know that God could solve them. Right? I didn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Listen, that's where you learn those things. God, the first thing we read, God takes us through these tribulations. Romans, I glory in my tribulations also, because tribulations work with patience. But the patience gives me experience. And knowing that God is always faithful, experience gives me hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed to trust God, because He pulled me through once before, but He'll pull me again. He'll do it again. We need to learn to rely on God. Give it to Him. That we say the same thing in salvation. Well, trust, with the heart, man believes in the righteousness. And the illustration is, well, there's a really nice chair. It probably would hold me up. Yep, I think it would do all right. My feet are starting to hurt too. If you carry around all this all the time, your feet would hurt too. But my feet hurt. For I wish I could sit down. And you know what you're saying? Sit down, stupid! But I don't have the rest and the peace because I'm not willing to rely. You're going to learn to rely by learning His word. You got to be redeemed. You got to be right with Him. You got to rely on Him. Number four, we need to request. You need to request. You know, an awful lot of times you say, well, I hope He knows. Well, He knows your needs. And by the way, He knows your needs before you pray. In fact, it says that He has answered before you pray. Then why do I need to pray? He wants you to pray by faith. Well, then the answer is already there. I don't need to pray. No. He made the answer. He might have even come up with the answer 100 years ago, knowing, because He knows all, first and last, that you were going to pray in 2017. But you know what? He may not have put the answer in place because He knew you wouldn't bother to pray in 2017. So the decision is still yours. It's just that He knew your decision before the world began. You still, in some ways, you're making a decision. You're directing your destiny under Him, so to speak. You are making those decisions, and yet He's going to react to this decision from way back. He knows what you have need of, but He wants you to request it of Him. Possess it. I've said this before, I still believe, it's figurative, but I think we're going to see a closet in our mansion in heaven that's going to have a lock on it, and it's going to be all the blessings we could have had down here and never asked Him for it. I'm just being figurative. But you know what I mean? We're getting the other side and say, you know what? I didn't have to go through that. I could have, all because I didn't ask. You have not because you ask not. Look at verse 13 and 14. 1 John 5. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So I never did. Now that's where he says, so you could trust him for on and on and on and on. And this is the confidence. We have God on. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You ask God for another shot of heroin, I don't think he's going to give it to you. The devil will. He was listening on the party line. But if God knows you need it, I think he'll give it to you. Well, I need a new car to get to work. I think you pray for it, I think God will give it to you. In his timing, I really believe he will. Now, it may not be a 2017 Lexus or Cadillac or all those things. It may be a 1999. They stopped making Ford Vegas, and when they stopped making? AMC Pacer. There we go. You know, but if it gets you to work and back, that may be what he wants you to do. Maybe we're not ready for the other thing. Maybe we get too big for our britches. But he'll take care. We need to request. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, watch, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be agitated, laying awake, fearful. By the way, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, peace. Fearful, in fact, that says, neither be afraid. That means fearful and timid, afraid of life. This is the opposite of peace. That's not what God, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and sound mind. We need to claim the promise of peace. We think that peace is going to come if we will just worry about it enough. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, your self-control be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. Don't be agitated and afraid and fearful. God's right here. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God understands your situation. God understands how bad it is. God understands the turmoil in your life. But he says, I can give you a peace that goes beyond the facts if you'll let me give it to you. Stop thinking about the problem. Think about the power of God who has overcome the problem. Even then, we don't need to be thinking about his power in relation to the problem. Just think about him, because it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The next verse says, finally, brethren, instead of worrying about all the things that's causing you not to have peace, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, back to getting them into the Bible, and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You seek the Prince of Peace. Don't be seeking peace. The peace that passes understanding comes when we're with the Prince of Peace. Last one. We need to be redeemed. We need to be right with God. We need to rely on God. We need to request. And then we need to rest. Rest. That's what the Sabbath day was all about. Well, I don't know if we're going to make it. I think I need to work on Sunday because I don't think God's going to provide. He said, no. Out in the wilderness, he gave them double on Friday, so they had time, that extra on Saturday, when they weren't going to be able to work. First John 5:15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If you're redeemed, you're his child, and you're not regarding iniquity in your heart, you're right. And by the way, you mess up, confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness. It's all gone. It's no longer there. What sins are you talking about? They're all gone. He remembers our sins no more. Then you trust him. Do what he asks us to do. Request. And then rest. Well, I wonder if he's going to do. Stop questioning the promises of God and rest in the promises of God. It's okay to just accept the promise of God and rest in it. Now, I'm doing a message tonight on how to rest in the promises of God. I hope you can be here tonight in the evening service. And let me ask you a question. Redeemed, living right, relying, requesting, and resting. That's the Jericho road to peace. How far down that road have you gone? Too many people go a little bit and stop. They'll be glad to just, man, I'm going to eke into heaven by the skin of my teeth. But I'm going to live fearful the rest of my life until I get there and live in the wilderness. Are you living in a way, and when you don't, you mess up, do you confess it to him and get cleaned up? Are you that far down the road? Okay. All right, now, aren't you the point where you actually rely on him? I hate to use this illustration, but it's the one the Lord brought to my mind. When Jad and I first got married, I'm almost done here, honestly, I am. Jad and I first got married, we were both teaching in public schools. And I know people complain about the salaries for the public schools, but both of us teaching, we were doing pretty well, to be honest with you. But for some reason, we had left the little church we grew up in and gone to a good independent Baptist church, and I was teaching music in the school, and she was too. And we got so we just couldn't make ends meet. We were doing all right, but it's like we just couldn't even make ends meet. At the same time, every time I'd go to church, it was like the pastor, I don't care what he was saying, what I got out of it was, you're not tithing, Sterling. You're not giving your tenth. Now, he could be teaching on the second coming of Christ, and all I get was, you're not tithing. He'd teach on the blood of the cross, and all I get out, you're not tithing. Meantime, we were losing money every month. We're going into the hole. Now, we weren't bankrupt or anything, but we had a nice little bit there, and we didn't own our house or anything, but we had to be able to save a little bit, and it was going away. And every time we went, it's like, I don't care who it was, what it was about. He said, Sterling, you're not tithing. That's what I got out of it. So finally I said, I can't take this any longer, Jad. We got to start tithing. Now, that's a step of faith. You know what I'm doing? I'm relying on him to provide my needs when I'm giving some of it back to him. But you know what I learned? You can live better off of 90% that he blesses than 100% that he's not blessing. I found out that he's going to get his tithe. It may be through your transmission or your car. Or he's going to somehow or other, he's going to get your tithe. And the thing is, he gets his tithe and you don't get the blessing. So that's hard. But you know, there's a lot of things about money. That's because that's our other God. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it. And so all of a sudden, we were able to make ends meet. About 3 or 4 months later, maybe a little longer than that, I'm going to church, and it's like every message he preaches, you're not tithing. You're not tithing. Message after message after message. And you know what I thought? Okay. I psyched myself out. You know, I guilted myself. It wasn't God talking to me. It wasn't the Holy Spirit moving. It's just some kind of tradition. You're supposed to do it, and it was just working on me. But every message I heard, that's what I got. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've always been very busy, and she's better with being diligent with all these things, so she's always kept the books. And so I went back to Janet, and I said, are we still tithing? And she said, well, yeah. I said, well, tell me what you're doing. She said, well, we get paid every other week. And so I get paid. I'll give half the tithe this week, and I'll give another half the tithe the next week. And, of course, if we really get pinched, I've got that little extra in between there. I said, that's our problem. Bible says, give the first fruits. You see, that's the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. He owns that 10%. For me to hang on to it is really kind of to hang on to his money. I'm stealing his money. And so I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Give it all the week we get paid, put all the tithe in that week. She said, but that means the next week we don't hardly have anything to put in, a couple bucks. It's an offering. I said, that's okay. Like God needs me to make sure I give him a steady income. You know what? Not only did we make ends meet, we started building up our bank account. Makes no sense. Need to rely on him. Rely means to obey what he said, even if it doesn't make sense. Take another walk around Jericho. This isn't going to solve my problem. No, but I'm relying on him. It's his problem now. Rest. How far have you traveled? Have you started relying on him? Are you willing to request? Yeah, but are you resting? Are you resting? Stop seeking the peace and seek the Prince of Peace. He's the one that controls the distribution of peace. Unless the Prince of Peace allocates you peace, you're not going to possess peace. And this is how it comes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting with us here this morning, and I hope this has been something that has touched their hearts. Lord, I know that your Holy Spirit moves. Please, Lord, pray that you'll speak to us on this issue. Heads are bowed.